going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Chris Ronchi, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out. St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
On 104.1 FM.
Let's take it from the top.
KMOX.
Oh, good morning, friends. How we doing? It is a beautiful, beautiful Tuesday in St. Louis in late April, and it's going to get warm today, which,
let's
go back to 65.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little color on my face for the first time in months, and I realized I have looked rather dead, a little jaundiced for like 7 months now.
Ah, you're fine.
I feel great. I feel like a new person. This is like makeup. The sun is makeup, and I know everyone's going, don't sit in the sun. You're going to get wrinkles and cancer. I know, but a little bit of sun is good for you.
You might get both, wrinkles and cancer. Be very, very careful. Always use sunscreen. It's good for
you. That's right. But a little vitamin D is also good for you.
It sure is.
You don't want to hole up in your house.
You know what else is good for you? The next 3 hours. That's right.
Yes. No, I think better for you than previously.
and talking to us is also good for you. It's good for your mental health. 314-436-7900. Call us. Text us. Drop us a voice message on the Audacy app. That is spelled AUDACY. And it is a free app that you can put on your phone, listen to the show, listen to the station, listen to Cardinals baseball. If you want to, you can also watch us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX. Follow us.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Game 2 of the Stanley Cup playoffs also does not go the way of the Blues. Winnipeg takes Game 2, so the Blues come back home down 2-0. They desperately need a win.
And the Dow is headed for the worst April it's seen since 1932, which seems a bit problematic, but we're going to chat with Dave Simons, partner and managing director at One Private Wealth, host of KMOX Dollars and Cents shows. We'll talk to him later in the hour to see exactly what that means.
And the Cardinals have lost their 5th straight game. This is not good, Amy, because they find themselves in a pretty shoddy position at the moment. So we've opened the show 2 days in a row now with crappy sports.
Well,
that's not fun. I don't want to open with crappy sports.
It's not fun, but I will say this. I am more concerned about the Cardinals in the moment. I find that a little bit more depressing because I think I saw the Cardinals are on pace for 63 wins, which obviously they're going to turn that around.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be like that.
63 feels a little low.
I mean, I hope not.
Yes. So they're going to turn it around. That's a bummer that they're struggling right now. The Blues, I have hope.
You do?
I do. I actually feel good about the Blues.
Oof. Well, that makes one of us.
Yes, because here's the thing.
And you know what? I'm glad somebody does. I'm glad somebody feels good about it.
Yeah.
Because now I can't stop thinking about Saturday night, that they had a lead and they coughed it up. And I knew they had to go in and steal one game in Winnipeg. It changes everything if they do.
Yeah.
And they failed to do it. They failed to hold on to that lead. And now here we are, down 0-2, coming back home.
Okay. Do you want to talk Blues now, or are we going to hit Cardinals first?
Let's go with the more, I guess, current problem, because it is a problem.
Yep.
And they can't afford losses right now. So let's go with that.
The Blues.
That's right.
Well, it still wasn't clear.
Well, no, the Cardinals can afford it. They got five more months to go.
They do. No, I know.
The Blues do not.
So here's,
time's running
here's
out,
the
baby.
Thing. It's been a pretty evenly matched series on paper, which it shouldn't be necessarily, because the Winnipeg Jets, number one going into this thing, the Blues, the eighth seed. The Winnipeg Jets are, you know, if not the best team, one of the very best teams in the National Hockey League. They have the best goaltender in Connor Hellebuck, and it has been close on paper. What concerns me are a couple of things. One, we mentioned already, which is their propensity for giving up leads at the end of the game, or at least letting teams back into it. That's a huge concern. It was a massive concern during their 12-game win streak, and it came back to bite them on Saturday, which now you can't stop thinking about Saturday.
Right.
They were in control of that game. That was
the
game.
When you have a chance, take it.
That was the game they were going to steal.
Yep.
If they were going to steal one. Yesterday, when you have such an evenly matched game like we saw last night, it's going to be who takes advantage of the one or two opportunities they get, and who doesn't make a mistake on those one or two moments when you're in a perilous position. It really stinks that Kyle Connor's goal in the beginning of the third period, that Jordan Binnington's stick got caught up in Parayko's skates and he lost his stick.
Yeah.
Kyle Connor may have scored anyway. Kyle Connor and Mark Scheifele have the Blues number when it comes to 5-on-5 play when Scheifele and Connor are together. They have been playing together for so long. They are so good. Kyle Connor might have scored anyway, but that's a bummer. But there were a couple of moments that the Blues, they missed an opportunity. One was on a power play about halfway through the third. There were a couple opportunities for them to get off a quick shot, and they double clutched. And I know it feels like I'm splitting hairs here, but and I tweeted this out, that double clutching on the power play is a luxury that most teams can't afford.
Right.
You can't. You are going to have, if you are in the slot,
be decisive, be quick.
You have got to grip it and rip it.
Now, that is not the same as people in the stands during a power play yelling,
shoot!
No, you're looking for a lane, but when you find a lane, take it immediately.
And
don't double clutch.
I forgot who it was. I think it might have been Thomas, but they had, it was a pass, it was a thousandth of a second, they were in the slot, and it was a double clutch, he didn't get the shot off. And that was it, and there's no shot that gets off there. And when you look at Kyle Connor, and that's one reason why Connor and Scheifele are so good together, they just know where they're going to be. I think Connor shot the puck before he even officially accepted the pass. It was so quick, and that's what you have to do in the playoffs. And again, the playoffs are about splitting hairs. So I look at those opportunities that the Blues had on the power play, and why does that matter so much? Well, not only because you got to take advantage of the power play, but the Jets' defense
very good.
Is impenetrable.
They're
and when
good.
They get a lead in the third period, you're not going to get
all
chances.
All you need to know is just go back and watch and look at the amount of scoring opportunities, like legitimate scoring opportunities the Blues had. It was almost zero.
Yep.
They just shut down. Yeah. It was really difficult to break through. And I don't feel great. Amy, I'd like to say, hey, anything can happen and anything can happen. And we talked about this yesterday, that if you go back to the 2019 series, the road teams won the first four games. Right.
Yep.
So Blues on the road win the first two in Winnipeg. Winnipeg comes to St. Louis. They win the next two. So it's not inconceivable that this is a flip of that, that the Blues win both of their home games at Enterprise Center. And you know what? I hope that happens. But I'm not feeling great. I'm feeling a little. And it's not up to me to be Mr. Optimism over here. You could do that if you want, Amy. You could be Miss Optimism. I'm not going to do it, though.
I'm not feeling it. I think I'm going to be both, because here I'm going to speak out of both sides of my mouth.
Uh-oh.
One, I feel hopeful that the Blues can win both games here at Enterprise. I do. I really and truly do. The negative side is I think the 2-1 score yesterday was a, even though it was an evenly matched game, it could have been 4-1. Jordan Binnington kept the Blues in that game.
That is exactly right.
It very easily could have been 4-1. And you think, well, how can you say that if the game was easily matched? That's the playoffs, man. Postseason comes at you fast. And literally, Jordan, especially on Appleton, there were two saves that he never should have been able to make, and somehow he did it. And again, that game could have been 4-1.
And thank God he's okay.
Oh my gosh, Scheifele went flying into Binnington.
Tell me you weren't thinking about Curtis Joseph or Grant Fuhr. Tell me you weren't thinking
Nick
about
Kypreos,
him.
Nick Kypreos, first thing I thought of.
Yeah, but I mean, he's okay, but it...
A pox it, beyond
Curtis. I guess
Nick Kypreos.
The good thing is that they were, the announcers were talking about how his, you know, feet went out from under him. Binnington's feet went out from under him and sort of, you know, he looked like a scorpion. That was probably the thing that saved him because his skates didn't get caught underneath him and he didn't twist anything and rip up his knee or whatever.
Blown out both knees if his skates hadn't gone up. Because he did, the way Binnington went down looked like someone beginning the worm, that move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to do that really well.
Okay, be honest with me. You knew how to do the worm?
Yeah, when I was in grade school.
Grade school. So you weren't doing it at the club?
Not at the club. I'm not getting down on that floor at the club.
Gross.
Clubs are the floor club. What's, club floors are gross.
What was the latest grade that you did the worm?
Sixth grade.
So you peaked?
I peaked in life in sixth grade. I was doing pretty well.
I kind of feel like I peaked at 10 to 12.
Is that
life
right?
Was really good.
Not bad.
My friends are like, oh, I wish I could go back to 22 and single. I'm like, I'd go back to 10. Life was so much fun when I was
so
10.
Good.
It was
so good back then. meanwhile... The Cardinals, yuck. Ollie Marmol, talking about the game last night, said it was good baseball until it wasn't. And this is a very good day to be talking to the Cardinals manager on the Gas House Gang. So at 12 o'clock, it'll be Bernie Miklas, Tom Ackerman, and me. Gas House Gang is every day from 12 to 1, every weekday from 12 until 1. And on Tuesdays, we have Ollie with us for the first half hour. He takes questions from us. He takes questions from you, the listener. So if you have any for later, go ahead and send those in. 314-436-7900. You will want to tune in at 12 o'clock today.
And we, as Ronj mentioned, tuning in the number 436-7900 to call or text, we had that conversation about Parkway School District banning cell phones starting next school year.
Yep.
I love it. I know you're in favor of it. We got some good feedback. We want to hear from you about that cell phone ban. You know, do you have concerns? Do you love it? Is it, what are your thoughts? 314-436-7900.
And as Amy mentioned earlier, Dave Simons, the host of Dollars and Cents here on KMOX, going to talk to us about the Dow, which is having a terrible month. As bad as we have ever seen, if you want to go back to the Great Depression, 93 years you have to go back to the last April we've had that's this bad. So we will talk to him about that, what's next, tariffs, all that stuff, what it means for you financially. All of that is coming up on the Chris and Amy Show, 104.1 FM, KMOX. It is the Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM, KMOX. Yesterday... well, really, I guess going back to last week, we had multiple conversations about Parkway School District deciding to ban cell phones during school time. In high school, they can use them during breaks and at lunch and before and after school for the younger grades. They will not have access to them during lunch hour and obviously during class when you are in class. They will be put up at the front of the room. They're still trying to figure out, the storage device they're going to use for this, but students will not have access to them. And so a lot of people have feelings on this. And, you know, I'm coming from the perspective of somebody who does not have kids. So it's probably easy for me to say, kids are fine. They don't need to have the cell phone on them at all times. If there's an emergency, somebody can have access to the phone at the front of the room. And there are phones like landlines at the desks where the teachers have them. So if there is an emergency, they have a way to get out. I get it. That's easy for me to say. Not everybody is on board with it, though it seems like most people are. Seems like most people are good with this because they want students to not be distracted while they're in class, and they should be learning, and phones are a distraction. We had a texter to @ChrisAmyKMOX, or this was a tweet, @ChrisAmyKMOX, and this is from John, who says, I know you guys are really excited about the phone ban and Parkway. I'm not excited about it. But
I'm excited about it as someone who was like involved in education and have kids close to me in the Parkway School District. I mean, it hits very close to home. Lots of people in the Parkway School District, plus being involved in tutoring and teaching.
So John says,
you approve.
Yeah, I approve of it.
I'm excited.
Did not go home and celebrate. I didn't open any bottles of liquor.
He got wasted just to celebrate it.
I got so drunk last night because I was excited about the Parkway's cell phone ban.
Actually, it'd be creepier if you were super invested into anything Parkway does.
Like, oh, your kids go there? Like, I don't even have any kids. I'm just so, this is great.
I'm a single 40-something-year-old keeping up with the high school news.
So John says, as a parent, I have concerns about the implementation of it. Like it or not, a phone can be a medical device at this point for kids with diabetes and other conditions. I would like to know how Parkway is going to handle that. I have a child that is on the spectrum, and I'm curious if the ban could be adjusted for a 504 or an IEP. I'm all for limiting screen time, but I'm skeptical of how this is going to work in a way that won't impact individuals.
Yes,
which I think is a fair concern.
Yeah, that's fair. I think a couple things to note. It's important to remember that the cell phones as a distraction / resource is a rather new development, right? Like, kids have been going to school for a long time. This particular policy, as the Parkway superintendent informed us yesterday, the phones will be in the classroom with the kids. They'll have a place to put the phones, a receptacle for the phones, and then they'll have access to their phones in between classes, when they're in the hallways. At lunch, they'll have access to their phones, which some schools don't allow access at all, right? Sometimes you walk into the building, but you'll have access to your phone at lunch. You'll have access to your phone immediately after school. It's just in that classroom. And important to note that your phone will be in the classroom with you, so feet away. We're talking you're within several feet of your phone. A classroom's only so big. And my guess is, because the phone is in each classroom, if there are certain special needs or medical needs, that you can keep that alert on. You know, you'll never be too far from your phone. If you have, whether it be diabetes or something else, where you have an important alert system on your phone, and again, we can clarify, but just from talking to the superintendent, he was very amenable to the idea that people have certain needs. The phone will be in the classroom. You leave that alert on. I think you'll be able to access it.
You get a waiver.
You get some sort of waiver, but also, maybe. It's not just a waiver to go get your phone. Your phone will be close to you. That's what I think parents are worried about, the proximity. The phone will still be close to you. And like you said, you get the waiver that maybe you can leave that alert system on. Remember that these schools, the teachers are wanting what's best for your kid, allowing them to learn without the distraction of the phone, without the, technology heroin, basically, is what these phones are. So they're separating the kids from that, but they're also on the kid's side. If a kid has a medical emergency or a special need, I believe, from what we talked to with the Parkway superintendent, teachers and administrators will be amenable to that.
And I think that, I mean, for me, it is, look, I know that some people have very specific medical needs that most of us do not have to deal with. And if it's such a thing that the student really needs to have it on him, on his person or her person at all times for whatever reason. And I'm not imagining all of the different medical problems that a kid could have. But if it is that, then you talk it over with the school. You get a doctor to step in and say, hey, yeah, this kid really needs to have his phone on him for whatever reason. Now, of course, that could be abused. I don't imagine most people will abuse that, though, if that's what they decide to do. It could just be, hey, if you have some sort of alarm, like a blood sugar alarm that goes off every time your levels drop to a certain level or they rise to a certain level and you're in a dangerous situation. You probably don't want that alarm going off in the front of the classroom all the time. Like, it might be better if it is on the kid. But I feel like these are individual cases that can be figured out. Like, of course, I had kids in my classes who were special needs. I had one kid who he had I don't know what his condition was. I just know that he had a very difficult time handwriting. So they got him a computer.
Yeah.
So he sat at a computer while the rest of us wrote in notebooks. And that was fine. It's not like anybody got upset. It just, you make special accommodations for very special needs. And I don't think that this is anything they can't figure out.
No, I believe they'll figure it out. And like I said, the data has shown that if a student looks at his or her phone, even for a split second, to say, hey, who texted me? It's 20 minutes on average that you are then distracted. 20 minutes. That's probably the rest of the class for most kids.
Yeah.
And absolutely, when you are engaged in a classroom, to me, because it is school-wide, it takes the pressure off the kids. It's the adults stepping in saying, okay, kids, we unleashed this addictive technology on you. We unleashed this drug on you. We're going to step in to fight for you and to protect you. We're going to step in and protect your education, protect your ability to socialize. And by the adults stepping in to do that, it's an enormous burden off the kids so that they can socialize with one another, knowing that they're not the only ones who haven't been allowed to use their phone.
That is the main thing. And we keep raising that point, but I think it's the most important. If you're left out, if you're the only student in class who doesn't have access to a phone, that would suck. If none of you have access to a phone, you'll be all right. For the most part. And yeah. I think that's unless you have some sort of special need.
And like I said, data is showing it. A couple of schools have now graduated their first class, right? The 4 years of being a phone-free school. And these are phones that are put at the principal's office, the front of the building. The first class that graduated saw increase in scores, increase in social ability, increase in mental health.
And by the way, I was watching CNN earlier today, and they were talking about a study that almost half of all young students who were polled about whether or not cell phones were a problem, almost half of them said yes. Like, there are a lot of kids that just, I think, not everybody, but there are a lot of kids that would like to just be free of them during classroom hours. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. How will the Dow's terrible April and the tariffs and all of this that's going on right now with the economy, how's that going to affect you? Dave Simons is the host of Dollars and Cents on KMOX, and he's next. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji on KMOX 104.1 FM. Time to go to the guest line today. It is the partner and managing director One Private Wealth and the host of Dollars and Cents here on KMOX. Dave Simons joins us today as the stock market ain't looking great, having a pretty terrible month of April. Whoa. In fact, the Dow is experiencing maybe the worst April it's had since 1932. That's not good. Dave Simons is with us now. Dave, thanks for being with us, number one. And number two, just how not good is this?
Well, good morning, guys. 1932, that back when I actually had hair.
Here we go.
Yes, we are going back a long way. But
what are you, 120?
I look pretty good for 120,
yeah, I
must say.
Yeah.
But that headline will get your attention, won't it, when you see something like that. And here's another one to add on top of that. Since inauguration day, so we've got about 3 months of data here, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has been around since 1896, so we've got a long timetable here. This is the worst performance of any first 3 months of a president's four-year term. And the amazing thing is, when you look at from election day to inauguration day, there was a lot of goodwill shown to Donald Trump. The stock market was going up. The dollar was going up because he's seen as a very pro business friendly guy, and he proved that in his first term. And there was all this talk about, you know, maybe some additional tax cuts, especially for corporations, things like that. Well, that goodwill is gone. And I heard one analyst on this morning, I thought he said it very well, when he said all the things that we worried about Donald Trump, that's what we've gotten. Everything that we loved about Donald Trump, we've received none of it. And I thought, wow, okay. And people are going to hear that and get into politics. Well, that guy must just hate Donald Trump. That's not the case at all. This was a conservative person. So that's the reality we face. And yeah, the markets are inevitably and justifiably in turmoil right now.
So the question is, because I think people give too much credit or too much criticism for a president in general, for the stock market, for the economy. And my understanding is that's typically the case. It just, they don't affect it normally. But that is if they behave normally, right? Like there are certain circumstances where they can have huge effects. Is that what's going on now?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. So let me give the disclaimer here, and it kind of references what I just mentioned about people getting political. And I know some people will hear what I'm about to say and think that I'm getting personal politics in it, and that is not the case at all. I have always fashioned myself as a bit of an equal opportunity antagonist, not intentionally so. I don't mean to get anyone riled up, but let's look at the facts based on your question about this, Chris. When we look back at some of the major turmoils that we've had in the last generation, let's say, you know, tragically, it's a 9/11. Okay, what's our response to that after 9/11? How does that impact the markets? And what do we do about going into Afghanistan and all that? Years later, we can look back with the benefit of hindsight and say, okay, from a policy standpoint, this is what we did right. This is what we did wrong. Same with the great financial crisis and bailing out this bank, but not bailing out that bank, or putting interest rates down to zero. And then more recently, the pandemic. We can look back with the benefit of history and say, this is what we did right, but this is what we did wrong. And then we learn from that. Well, right now, we don't need the benefit of history. These are self-inflicted wounds by the president of the United States. You don't need to sugarcoat this. All the wonderful goodwill that he was given, rightfully so, being this business guy and this market guy. And instead he decides that he wants to get on social media and call the Fed chairman a loser. And I know some people are going to dismiss that and say, oh, that he's just being Trump. All right. Do words really hurt you? Well, guess what? What it does is it causes foreign investors, big institutional investors who have always counted on America to be the stable entity in the world. That now is called into question, whether it's tariffs, whether it's going after in a very childish way after very important and influential people, even if you don't agree with them. That's why you're seeing the dollar sinking. That's why you're seeing bonds misbehaving, and it's causing all this uncertainty. It didn't need to be this way. These are fights that we don't have to have, and that's why you've got turmoil in the markets.
What kind of damage is being done right now to the global market, to the way the U.S. is being viewed? You kind of laid that out, but I guess I should say, how long will that damage last? What will it take to repair that damage?
And Amy, that's what a lot of your big institutional managers are trying to figure out. And there's the uncertainty. It's almost like when you get this snowball that starts at the top of a cliff and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Okay, you hope it kind of stops at some point, but once it gets rolling, it is hard to stop. You just don't want it to keep going and then, you know, destroy a village at the bottom. And that's the uncertainty. You can't all of a sudden announce today, okay, no more tariffs, we're backing off, and then the markets go, great. What we're seeing is all this anecdotal evidence. If you could be kind of a bug in my office and hear conversations that I'm having with clients who are not purchasing things, who we put in their financial plan, these major things that they were about to do, and now we get a call and say, you know what? I just want to spend money on that right now. Well, that's being repeated a million times across the country. And so when you have this stuff, it almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And then, Amy, to your question, that really is, I think, the most important question. Now, I don't want to be so much a pessimist through all this and say, oh, we're doomed here. Not at all. We can right the ship. We can get a little bit of stability back. But it's going to take maybe some other folks in President Trump's ear to say, maybe we need to back off on some of this stuff. And we've seen evidence of that when he put in his 90-day pause a week or so ago. That was Scott Bessent. That was the Treasury Secretary, an adult in the room, and he got him to stop. So we need more of that. And one more thing, not just people in the administration. We need to have top influential CEOs, especially of banks, to say, Mr. President, this is what's happening here. We got to pull back on some of this stuff, and especially some of the rhetoric, because our foreign friends and even our adversaries who still buy our debt in terms of global turmoil and still buy the dollar are not doing that anymore. And in fact, quite the opposite. They're selling, and that is roiling the global markets, and that is hard to stop once that gets going down the hill.
Dave, I've had a lot of conversations with friends in all different stages of life, really from mid-30s to mid-60s, looking at their retirement, feeling very disheartened, very frustrated. Is there a chance, will their retirement bounce back up to what it was pre-Trump? Or will any rebound still not get them to where they were before this administration?
Yeah, so despite my concerns, and despite, you know, I'm an even keel guy. Anyone who knows me, it's like I never get too up, too down. I could have a bad day, good day. You don't really know it. I typically am an optimist, happy-go-lucky guy. I woke up this morning pretty PO'd. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because I just thought, this is so unnecessary. And these are fights that we don't have to have. And so when we get to retirees looking at this going, this isn't what I signed up for. I voted for Donald Trump. And I'm not saying that I was expecting everything to be rosy, but I wasn't expecting this. And I was expecting for him to come in and do more pro-business stuff instead of, you know, these 50% tariffs on countries that are our friends, and then calling the Fed chairman basically a major loser and picking fights like that he can't win anyway. So, yes. I do believe I'm still an optimist in America. We are bending. We are not going to break. And I believe institutions will hold and the markets will rebound. With that said, folks, I always tell people to do that stress test on their portfolio to make sure they can withstand these corrections and bear markets. And a very solid, diversified portfolio should still be only down single digits now. So we shouldn't, a well-run diversified portfolio should not be hammered that much. If your portfolio is down double digits, then you're probably taking more risk and that needs to be adjusted because, hate to say this, I don't think we've seen bottom yet in the market. I think we've got potentially a little bit more weakness to go.
So what is bottom in the market? What does that mean for the average person? Not everybody owns stocks. A lot of people have a 401k, though. Some people are closer to collecting on that. I mean, what does it mean for the average person?
Well, the way I look at it is if you've got a traditional allocation of, let's say, 60 or 70% in stocks and the rest of it in fixed income, maybe you have a little bit of commodities or whatever. If you look at the S&P 500 and say, well, what if it falls 30%? I mean, that we're not anywhere close to that now, but let's say that's what it does from the top. Well, a diversified portfolio shouldn't really even be down 20%. And I always tell investors, look, if you can't handle the occasional 20% hit to your portfolio, thankfully they're not going to be that common, but they will happen in your lifetime. If you can't handle that, that's okay. That doesn't make you a good or bad investor. It just means that's you. So maybe you shouldn't have so much in the market, then you should have cash. You can get 4% on cash today or 4% on CDs. I think you need to think longer term. And that's what I get back to, Chris, on your question is, I don't know where the bottom is, but I do know that if people think long term, I still believe their goals will be intact if they're reasonable. And for people with 401ks, please continue to dollar cost average. This is where this is the juice to the growth of your 401k, is continuing to invest when markets are down because you're getting things cheaper. And you'll look back years from now and say, I am glad I kept investing because it paid off. Folks, this market will go higher again. Just keep the seatbelts fastened.
Dave, before we let you go, I know this is kind of a big question, but if you're looking at your portfolio, you're looking at your stocks, how much do you take into account that Donald Trump is carving out from these tariffs for certain companies like Apple, like tech companies, and maybe guys that I mean, or buddy-buddy with him just happened to get a carve-out. There's some real concerns here.
Well, yeah, you're going to have some favorites like that, and I don't want to get into the policy part of it, but that's a good point that you make, Amy, because on the positive, you can say, well, okay, some people do have the president's ear, and that's not a bad thing, and it doesn't mean then that every company has to suffer. So I'm not a big fan of playing favorites like that, and the most influential ones are the billionaire CEOs. I don't know that I like that, but that's the way politics can be sometimes. It can be messy. It can be unfair. It can be dirty. But you continue to invest for your own long-term goals and objectives and occasionally get defensive, as we have the last couple of months. We've raised cash a little bit. We've taken off the top of our more aggressive stocks, and we've held in there well. And when the dust settles and the skies open up again, and they will, then we'll go back to an allocation where we were before. Nobody likes this. Nobody likes the uncertainty. We'll get through it, I'm convinced. But like I said, that doesn't happen tomorrow. I think we've got a little bit more of a rocky road to go first.
So what you're saying is we're screwed. That's all I heard. No.
Is that the technical way to describe it? Maybe
no,
so.
We're not
maybe
screwed.
So. At least here, not maybe in the near term, not screwed, but we take the occasional ball peen hammer between the eyes, I think.
I think we need to have we're going to have to schedule you regularly, Dave. I feel like we're going to have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Well, I'm all for it. And Amy, you'll appreciate this. I will be getting my little frustration up by running the Go Marathon on Saturday.
So awesome.
Are you running?
I am not. I fell and I'm recovering from injury, but I will be cheering you on in spirit. I know, a gumball. You know those gumball trees?
Yes, I did that in Clayton about 10 years ago. I fell and messed up my ankle.
That's what I did. Yeah. I fell in Clayton on a gumball.
Oh, man.
Messed up my ankle.
It might have been the same.
Gumball.
It was the same one 10 years later.
Yes.
Dave.
Same gumball. Dave,
please don't do it again, because I can't hear this story another 50 times.
Hey, Matt,
somebody else.
Get this guy's number so I can call him back and we can commiserate.
Dave, we have to go now. We have to go right now.
Oh, my gosh. That same guy. I'm going back and sweeping all the streets of Clayton.
It was that same gumball.
Dave Simons, we love you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Amy.
Dave is a partner and managing director at One Private Wealth, host of Dollars and Cents here on KMOX.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
What is it, Ronj? What is it?
Amy, did you see the Christy Noem? You know who she is?
The dog killer?
Yeah, I think that's... Or is it Nancy Bates?
No, Rolex-wearing dog killer? That's Christy Noem.
Christy Noem is the... Homeland Security Secretary.
Yeah.
She had her purse stolen in a restaurant Sunday night in Washington, D.C. It had $3,000 in cash.
What?
I would like to ask a question.
Yes, I think I know. I can smell what you're stepping in.
How is the person in charge of Homeland Security... How does she allow her purse to get stolen?
And why is she carrying...
You can't even keep an eye on your own purse?
Why are you carrying $3,000 in cash?
Well, of course.
Is she buying drugs?
Actually, I would like to know, if you are listening right now and you just, on average, have $3,000 on you in cash, I'd like to know. Go ahead and text
The only person I know who talked about carrying thousands of dollars in cash on his person was John Mulaney, when he talks extensively about his drug
buying
addictions.
Buying drugs. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he was on all of them. He was addicted to, like, he had addictions to, like, 15 drugs.
So the purse had her keys, driver's license, passport, checks, makeup bag, medication, and Homeland Security badge.
And what's her title again, Ron?
She is the Secretary of Homeland Security. Got her purse stolen.
All of her stuff.
What the absolute hell, man?
It's so stupid.
You're in charge of Homeland Security and you got your purse stolen.
And here's the thing. Why do you have $3,000 in cash? And why would you keep all of that stuff in your purse? And why would you let it out of your sight? What in the world are you thinking? I think thinking might not be her strongest suit.
Can't be the Secretary of Purse Security. Now she's in charge of the entire country.
You got to work your way up. Make sure you can keep track of your purse. Then you can watch the country.
Amy, I'm sure you haven't seen this yet, but you need to watch it. I cannot fully describe to you how cool this is. But a manhole cover in Poughkeepsie, New York exploded.
Oh.
And there's video of it. Right as a woman is walking with a stroller and her toddler, she's maybe 2 feet past the manhole and there was a gas buildup explodes behind her. So now a new fear has been unlocked. Now you have to be worried about exploding manhole covers because if there is a gas buildup, it can happen. You've got to see this video. I would Google it. It's unbelievable. It looks like a movie.
That's terrifying. Still going to say, more afraid of the sinkhole. I'd rather be blown up than sucked underground.
I would too. It'd be over quicker unless it just blows your leg off or something. Then it would be painful. You don't want that. That's Amy Markscores. I'm Chris Ranji. You know what we love, Amy? Drama.
We do love drama.
You and I love drama more than anything. And apparently, it might be the case that if there is drama in your workplace, it can bring you and your coworkers closer together.
Aww.
Yeah, we'll tell you about that when we come back on 104.1 FM KMOX.